Blog Talk Radio.
To the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions as we travel the world for past, present, and future stars, where we bring you the boxing news, the interviews, the legend tales, and boxing history coming to you live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Yeah, we are in April, you know, spring day outside, looking pretty good. But, you know, I just have to mention at the top of the show, it was a terrible tragedy we witnessed there. Schuylkill County made the news, not the right way, nationwide, even around the world, for a horrible pileup on the interstate up the road from where I sit right now. And we just want to offer condolences to the families that lost family members and pretty much everybody who was in that horrible wreck, man. I know you travel around a lot, and I do too, but, man, that was something to see.
Yeah, over 50 car and truck
trucks and cars and everything just all slamming into each other. So, man, that was the news of the week right here, man. Wow.
Yeah, well, March showed this its wings, and you know, March wings could rain, sleet, snow, hail, or snow, and look like it had snow squabbles there that caused the tragedy there.
Yeah, if nobody's seen one of those things, they wonder. But that is a complete whiteout. It's like throwing a sheet over your windshield. You can't see, let alone the edge of your car. You can't see the road. You can't see lights ahead of you. It's just a horrible seconds, you know. That's all it really takes to cause something like that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, our condolences to everybody. That
six people,
that are healing in the hospitals around the area from that accident. Our prayers and stuff come out to each and every one of them to heal fast and Godspeed. But, Bob, during this month, you know, from one of the – you talk about Muhammad Ali's training camp, we do a lot. Called the Fighters Haven down there with Mike Madden and Mitch. Michael owns it, Mitch, who is the manager and caretaker. Muhammad Ali had put a mosque in Schuylkill County, the first mosque in Schuylkill County down there. Just a reminder to people, Ramadan has started. And Ramadan is one of the obligations of the five pillars of Islam, which is fasting. And just like a religious fast for Catholics, which is Lent, in Islam, we have Ramadan, which is the fasting period. And we say Ramadan Kareem to each and one of those that are fasting and looking for a good Ramadan for the whole month of April.
Right.
And our prayers go each and every one of them that it be easy on them.
Yes. Okay. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, look, Bob, there's a lot of things going on, and we want to apologize for the people last week. We had Freddie Ladd on here, a former champion, and something happened. Our whole network just started to fall apart and didn't end up eventually crashing. We want to apologize for people. This is what happens on the internet and phones and, you know, Freddie Ladd's way down in Memphis, Tennessee. You're in Schuylkill County, and I was in North Carolina, and all of that going into a system, you know, from time to time something is going to go wrong, and it happened last week. I know. It's happened to us before in our shows, and we want to apologize. You know, these things happen, but we try to bring the best regardless of the circumstances, week in and week out, what's going on in the news with boxing, whether it's events, interviews with different people, legend tales and boxing history and events coming up. So we try to keep the avid boxing fan each week to know what's coming up in the future, and what things that happened in the past to keep them well entrenched. And we try to deliver it in over 200 and some shows now, Bob. And
that's right.
Every Saturday and over, it's 5 years?
Yeah, going on
like
five.
That.
It'll be five, I guess, in September. But yeah,
September, and that's going to be a mark and going to be a great celebration that we're going to have.
Yeah, great. It sounds good. I know, and we just we keep digging it up and keep talking about it because later on we'll get into a couple of things with the Usyk and Bivol, Lovachenko, and the Syrian White. So lots to talk about there too, as far as world events. Seeing playing a game again as far as what we're going to see as far as fights are concerned. It's all about a couple of big factors that we'll discuss in a little bit too.
All right. Well, Bob, take us around the world. Let's see what's happening.
Right.
What do we got coming up?
Well, we're going to start today taking a trip overseas as we head to Newcastle, United Kingdom, where Savannah, the silent assassin, Marshall, 11-0, 9 knockouts, defends her WBO World Female Middleweight Crown against challenger and the former WBO World Super Middleweight Champion, Famke Hermans. She's 12-3 with 5 knockouts. Sky TV and Panama Cable on the Sports TV will telecast the show, which also includes the co-main event featuring Florian Marcoux, 10-0-1-6 knockouts, defending his IBF International Welterweight title versus Chris Jenkins, 23-4-3. Birmingham hosts the Tommy Silcox, 9-0 versus Alex Fear on bound for the Open 3DFC Midlands Area Super Lightweight Strap. And in Wigan, Lancashire, lightweights Joe Howarth and Joshua Bendana meet up. Female bantamweights headline the card in Juuka, Finland, as Lotta Lokanen slugs it out with Ivanka Ivanova. Luda Slaska, Poland, hosts the Robert Talarek versus Alexandros Kurasanidis Super Middleweight Clash. 23-1-1, Marcos Nader steps in with Martin Asumanjan, 11-1-2, to battle for the IBF International and EBU European Union middleweight belts in the topper from Vienna, Austria on ORF Sport Plus TV. 11-0 middleweight Tamir Ozarti takes on Samir Hajiyev in the main attraction in Halle an der Saale, Sachsen-Anhalt, Germany. Freshen in Nordrhein-Westfalen ends their night with the Ugo Kadam versus Ivan Sakic cruiserweight confrontation. Cruisers also top the card in Windisch, Switzerland, where Benoit Huber and Guillaume Hauet do battle. France checks in this week with several venues in Auxerre's welterweight Dassa Namana and Mikhail Gavrinashvili square off. And in Cité Héraut, it's Neon Deslion crossing the ropes with Raphael Bocquet in the welterweight finale. Isudun in Indore closes the curtain after the Melvin Moreau and Rotowa Girasse welterweight matchup. Cruiserweight Alexandre Couste is showcased in Gravelines Nord, while welterweight Jordan Gonzalez and Georgi Galashvili clash in Fezzan, Rhone. Amiens and Somme host a super welterweight fight between Jules Viss and Memba Miesi. Seville, Spain finishes their night with the middleweight contest of Arseniy Garabian versus Pavel Albrecht, while in Cuenca, Castilla-La Mancha, the middleweight bout of Mihai Anton versus Santos Medrano is the feature. Down the road in Illescas, Antonio Collado collides with Adan Martinez in a lightweight showdown. In Picanha, Valenciana, they spotlight the Jordi Martinez versus Joel Sanchez super bantamweight contest. Rome, Italy closes their show with the Jacopo Fazzino versus Mikhail Escobar welterweight battle. Opetina in Friuli Venezia will see middleweights Luca Sciarconi and Milo Zhanjanin clash. Featherweights top the bill in Juent Piemont as Kylie Uzale steps in with Milan Savic. While in Florence, middleweights Yassan Hermi and Ivo Babic meet up, and in Masala heavyweight fight face off as Massimo Notari takes on Sergio Romano. Accra, Ghana will see Michael Ansah, 21-10-2, and Prince Nwoe, 4-4-1, vie for the vacant West African Boxing Union lightweight title, while the co-main having Richard Fenye and Victor Kawunu fight for the country's open lightweight strap. We have a big night in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, where the 15-0 with 10 knockouts, Francis Villar Frometa crosses the ropes with Oliver Flores, who's 30 wins, 4 losses, and 2 draws, also with 19 KOs. They fight for the vacant WBA Federlatine lightweight crown. And back now to the USA and to Paramus, New Jersey, for the super welterweight bout between the 4-0 Robert Torrey and the 6-0 DeAndre Pettis. And up in Hartford, Connecticut, local figure Maquan Williams, 16-0-1, clashes with Tyrone Lucky, 15-16-4 in the super lightweight attraction. Heavyweights Duane Calloway and Dustin Chandler meet up in West Virginia and Hammond, Indiana, 12-0 middleweight with 10 knockouts. Mickey Dalman is featured. Dearborn, Michigan hosts the co-main events with Ali Izamalov, 7-0, battling the also 7-0 Abraham Tebbis in a light heavyweight showdown. And the 11-0 Brandon Moore versus Curtis Harper, 13-7, in a heavyweight duel as well. Topeka, Kansas hosts the Deshaun Prather, 13-1, versus Rashid Stevens, 6-0, welterweight bout. And out west in Commerce, California, super middleweight Raul Lizarraga and Emmanuel Sanchez meet up. Pomona hosts the welterweight clash between Zolt Darani and Martin Aniel Martinez Perez. Yamileth Mercado, 18-3, defends her WBC World Female Super Bantamweight crown against Isla Vargas Perez, who's 9-3, and the headliner in Chihuahua, Mexico. Ciudad Juarez hosts the Alan Solis, 14-1-1, versus Jesus Gomez Quintana, 11-6, featherweight fight. And Canal Space TV will be in La Paz for the co-main events with 12-0 Isaias Lucero squaring up against Alan Zavala, 16-7, for the country's welterweight title. And Isaac Lucero, 9-0, faces Christian Sonora Soltero, 16-5, for the WBC Youth Silver Welterweight Championship. Zaragoza closes the show with Fernando Romero Hilario, 11-0, versus Rodrigo Hernandez Duran, 7-9, super featherweight confrontation. Malcapan tops the bill with the spotlight featuring the Francisco Javier Hernandez versus Cesar Soriano Lozado. Excuse me. ESPN Plus will be broadcasting from Puebla, where Lilian Luna Avila, 22-3-1, looks to retain her WBC World Female Bantamweight belt in a clash of challenger Mayeli Flores, who's 8-0-1. Featherweight Jesus Arturo Gomez is showcasing Huanguillo Tabasco, and light heavies Oscar Riojas and Abraham Hernandez Mejia clash in Nuevo Laredo. Guatemala City, Guatemala has the Jonathan Contreras Aragon versus Juan Jose Yolk super lightweight contest, while down in San Felice in Venezuela, Jose Rivas Bastardo, 6-0, faces also 6-0 Christian Munoz for the country's super light widowweight strap. And also in Belmopan, Belize, they check in this week featuring the Eduard Esquivel versus Andres Vasconcelos super featherweight attraction. And Taisi Sports TV will be in Berazategui, Argentina, where Emilcar Vidal, 14-0, 11 by a knockout, fights Osmar Gustavo Zamora, 7-4-1, for the WBC Latino middleweight belt. And the co-feature is the Jose Matias Romero, 24-2, versus Ignacio Peran, 7-5-1, featherweight showdown. Female featherweight Maria Dolores Gomez is highlighted in the Federal District of Buenos Aires. And in Catrina La Pampa, 11-0 welterweight Geronimo Manuel Vasquez takes on Miguel Scaringi, who's 6-3. Dwayne Beeman, 21-4-2 with 15 KOs, and Pablo Carrillo both seek the vacant WBC Continental America's super flyweight crown in the main event in Barranquilla, Colombia. 9-0 super feather Johan Segura is showcased in Cali. And on now to the Pacific, to Woden, Capital Territory, Australia, for the Brian Roberts versus Dan Murray super middleweight showdown. D-Log Victoria closes the curtain after the 11-0 Ben Mahoney steps in with Lachlan Higgins, who's 7-3-1 in a middleweight matchup. Jean-Riel Ramonal, 17-9-6, fights Pete Apollinar, 15-2, for the Open OPBF super bantamweight crown in the headliner from Manila, Philippines. And in Zamboanga del Sur, the super bantam battle between Milan Malindo, 37-5, and Crisan Omoyayo, 24-23-5, tops the bill. Tokyo, Japan, they host a bout for the country's vacant super welterweight belt between Makoto Kawasaki, 12-8-1, and Koki Koshikawa, who's 9-3. Here we have 21 countries once again this week. We're keeping it up there. I'd like to see those numbers be over 20, and we've got a nice busy thing. Lots of women fighting tonight for some championships. We have three different titles on the line there. And, of course, the Savannah Marshall fight, we're going to be looking at that because we're hoping to see that Marshall and Clarissa Shields fight happen somewhere down the road, too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Bob. A lot of stuff going on in boxing. And, well, you know, when they say that when the heavyweight division's moving, boxing is moving. So let's take a look at, you know, what's going on with Anthony Joshua and Usyk. It seems that Usyk has been released from the Ukrainian government to go back and fight and things. So it looks like that fight with Anthony Joshua and Usyk, the rematch, is going to happen. We were talking about, you know, all of that in the past, what was going to take place when Anthony Joshua said he wanted to fight somebody else. And in the meantime, why Usyk was at war, and it seems like Usyk and Anthony Joshua rematch is on. So that's definitely good for boxing. And why that fight looks like it's going on, Tyson Fury, he keeps going on and keeps being the character who he is.
Yeah, the one thing I want to say about that fight, too, kind of that elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about, but there is a spike. The new variant in the United Kingdom is affecting a lot of people, and we're talking about 85,000 people in a couple of weeks from now, on the 23rd of this month, you know, 3 weeks from now, 85,000 people going into Wembley Arena, man. We're kind of keeping an eye on that to see if this COVID outbreak with the new variant, the sub-variant, or whatever you want to call it, the BA2, is going to wreak havoc over there or not, because I'm sure they're keeping an eye on it. So that's just something in the back of our minds, too, we wanted to pass along.
Yeah, you know, it seems like in England it has different spikes at different times. It goes up each variant that comes on. It seems like they get a real heavy charge of the virus over in England. If you remember Anthony Joshua, you know, he had some close people, including himself, with COVID, you know, and part of the royal family. They came down with COVID earlier when COVID just started out, that a lot of the government officials came down with it, and Anthony Joshua was at some type of party, if you remember back then, with all of them.
Yes, we do it. I said, I know that they're keeping an eye to get, you know, when you sell 85,000 tickets, man, and you have a strain of virus going around. So it's like, yeah, it's just something we definitely have to keep an eye on. But you also want to go back to the Usyk thing being allowed to leave Ukraine. But now we also heard this week from Mauricio Sulaiman, the president of the World Boxing Council, who is kind of flip-flopped a little bit there, saying that he's okay with the Alvarez versus Bivol fight coming up on May 7th at T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. And we know that Bivol, he's literally from Russia, his home country, of course, invading Ukraine right now. And Sulaiman had previously announced they weren't going to sanction fights, but now he's saying athletes shouldn't be punished over the conflict. So, you know, it's something that I think Usyk opened the door by getting being freed. And, you know, we also have Lomachenko, who is still fighting. He's still in his uniform, and we saw this week that Devin Haney and George Kambosos Jr., Haney's going to take that trip down to Australia and fill that stadium down there, which was something Lomachenko was going to do. But, you know, there's fallout there, you know, so a lot of different things happening with the Ukrainian fighters.
Well, I think for Haney stepping up to the plate, he's been crying, you know, foul that none of these guys wanted to climb in. He's been saying he wanted to unify all the belts and fight all the champions. And he said that he would take his shows immediately, his show on the road, to go down to Australia and to pull off a big upset. Boy, this with Haney and Kambosa, that's going to that's going to be a huge, huge fight over there. Boxing fans are going to see something exciting because of style-wise. Styles make fights. And I think with them two, their style is a big fireworks, you know, like the grand finale. And I think in that fight, that's what people are going to see. They're going to see a great matchup when it comes to Haney and Gamboa. Boy, oh boy, to go down under, man, he's going to have to go down there for some time to get acclimated to the time difference from L.A. to out there. And I hope that he takes the time to go down there and get acclimated to the time difference, because, you know, you leave one time from L.A. and you get down there the same time that you left from L.A., but a different day. So it takes a little bit get adjusted to that type of time change. So,
and also,
fans, I'm happy for both of them. It's going to be a great matchup. I'm glad that they could put that fight together for both of those champions. I think you're going to see something special with them two fighting.
Yeah, I think so too. And just another point too was the other people haven't been traveling, they have ever gone to the Southern Hemisphere. You know, they're the opposite season. You know, we're getting springtime, they're moving into fall. So that's another thing too, when you go down there and the days are shorter or longer, you know, the opposite of what you have here, you know, and it's kind of like, can be unsettling for a few days when, you know, you're used to the sun now going down 7:30 and it's back to 5 o'clock, it's going down again, you know.
Yeah,
just kinda,
yeah.
Yeah, it shows you a little bit, yeah.
It takes you a few days to get used to it, the climate. And, you know,
yeah,
the atmosphere,
all that,
yeah, changes, stuff like that. It takes a little bit, but, you know, first few days you get sluggish. Is Haney going to take a special cook down with him, a chef or something, cook for him? Because the food is different, too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Different style of food. So you got to make all of those different types of adjustments. But if you have a real team with you, and you have a chef with you, can fall right into place, like right away. You can eat the foods that you normally used to eating during training, and that helps a whole lot to get acclimated, keep your energy level, and things like that, where, you know, different foods, different spices and stuff hit your body from different parts of the world. It goes through. You might get the runs in your bowels, you know, go to the bathroom a lot, you know, the water, all of that. So it's a lot to do when you're traveling. But, hey, they're champions. They know at some point, sometime, you got to put your show on the road, like Gamboa did. He came to the United States, the Madison Square Garden, to put off that big upset. So, man, this is a fight that is for boxing fans, and boxing fans are waiting to see it happen.
Yeah, and we always talk about the Australia, New Zealand, and those places down there, in the you know, that part of the world. And this is going to be a great fight. Gamboa was saying he wanted to do the fight there, and he got his wish. And Haney played, as you mentioned, and said, "Let's go! I'm ready to travel down there and do this." So a lot of names being tossed around as far as who was going to get that gig, and, you know, Haney, as you said, lobbying for it, and he got it. So we'll look forward to seeing. I don't have a date yet on that, but we'll certainly let you know when it's coming.
Absolutely. But a date we do got is Earl Spence down there at the AT&T Cowboy Stadium Arena here coming up April, 16th?
Yeah, the 16th. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
2 weeks.
With UGAS.
Yeah.
That's a fight. It's going to answer a lot of questions, you know. UGAS is a tough competitor, and we're going to see if Earl Spence from the car accident, you know, how his body healed with the detached retinas. We're going to see how that's affecting him and all that. But that's another great matchup down there. And, you know, down there with Jerry Jones keeping his name in the news. Somebody that hit him up for a few million.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll talk a little more about it next week, too, but Triple G back in action next week, too. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens. We're talking about Canelo and all that, yeah.
He's getting up there in age and stuff like that. But, you know, it would be real colorful, you know. You see Mayweather going around. He's biting at the bit to do something.
Right.
You know, will he come back to fight Canelo Alvarez again on the top of his game, see if he can still do what he does best, or fight a Triple G or something like that and get the billions. back flowing again. And I think, you know, he may do some. Excuse me. I got that same bug you got, Bob. will Mayweather come out and announce something here in the future? I know Jake Paul and Mayweather are having their money problem. One of the Pauls, you know, are having money problems with Mayweather. And let's see, you know, if what Mayweather is saying, that it's true, is that the back ends of the funds of the pay-per-view, the final payments and all of that haven't been made. I know it does take some time, to get all the books, providers, you know, from all over the world. You know, sometimes they have billing problems, clear up the bills and all that, where, you know, it takes a little time to count the real dough when you're making real big money. But at the end, the court will find out what's going on. And if what Mayweather's true, then what he's saying is true, then Paul's just going to have to wait to get his final payment. Or there's no money due, and he ends up with El Zippo. He works out of court. The lawyers made all the money, and down the road they go.
Right, that's what happens. The lawyers make the money, man. We know that. That's how it works. But anyway, back to that Triple G thing. Let's not forget, too, we're talking about Canelo Alvarez fighting next month. But, you know, they're looking at a September date for that third fight between Canelo Alvarez and Triple G, Golovkin. So that's something to keep an eye on, too. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, and don't forget, in the heavyweight scene, we got Bryant. Bryant's right in the mix. You know, they want to try to keep his name from out of the mix, but he's in the mix. He's right there. He has that WBA heavyweight championship of the world fighting the bonus, which Don King won the purse bid. We're coming out to wait to see when a date is for that fight, which the number one contender,
Daniel Dubois,
WBA title, yeah.
Daniel Dubois, he's fighting, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think Dubois is a dynamite puncher. You know, he got 16 wins, I think, one loss, something like that, to Bryant's over 20-some fights. I think it's a great matchup with the puncher. Bryant needs that. He knocked him off. I think once that fight happens in the Usyk and Anthony Joshua fighting, is that Trevor Bryant's right in line for Usyk or Anthony Joshua. And I think that would be big, you know?
Yes, absolutely. That would be big, and get another name in there, because, you know, we've talked about it before. We have the names, and we just need to match them up with the right people and put them in the right place at the right time. You know, and,
you're absolutely right about that, Bob. Well, you know, we have our guests hanging in the queues, so we don't have no foul-ups today. Let's try to bring our guests in and welcome them into the World Boxing Review Radio Show. Freddie Ladd, how you doing, champ?
Hey. I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, last week there was a mix-up, whatever. The systems crashed and all that. And we made a promise that we would bring you back this week. And we're happy to have you, Freddie. How you doing down there in Memphis?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. Everything is good.
Yeah, well, describe, good. You know, let's get into your programs first, because you're doing great programs down there in Memphis with fighters and stuff like that. Talk about your program, talk about your fighters, and then we'll talk a little bit about you, and then we'll keep moving this thing on. Come on with it, Freddie.
All right. Well, it's good to hear you guys again. I'm doing a program down in Boston. I've been around a different gym, so people know who I am. And MMA fighters call me all the time, want me just to work with them to have good hands. And, of course, I work around with a lot of different boxers and everything, but I got two specific fighters that's personally in mind that I'm getting ready to turn them pro coming up May 21st here in Memphis. We have a show that's coming up, and they're both going to make their pro debut. I got Cameron Amos, who's fighting from 126 to 118. Then I got Sharika Holmes, a female fighter. She'll be fighting at 154 pounds. So just I work with a lot of different fighters, but those are my two main fighters that I work with. Go around to different
that's
gyms.
Good.
Yeah.
Freddie, now, do any of them have any amateur experience or anything like that?
Well, Cameron, he had about 30 amateur fights. Sharika Holmes, she haven't had any amateur experience. She's a former bodybuilder champion, so she just been training a lot and said she wanted to go ahead and make that move. She's 38 years old, so she said she wanted to have a professional fight before she turned 40 years old. So she's 38 now, and we're just making a move.
Yeah, well, that's good, man, developing talent so well. And for people who do not know who Freddie is, at one time in boxing, Freddie Ladd was it. What was the mark you had? What, 40? You were 42-0, something like that before you?
44 wins.
How many fights did you have before you had your first loss?
I won 38 fights straight.
Yeah, 38 fights straight. Yeah. And for people, and if people don't know, I did train Freddie Ladd also with the great Red Fortner, who ran shows there in Memphis back then. He did that. Red did that, what, 30-some years?
Yeah, 30 years. Some of the greats. Anybody who's in boxing have come through Memphis, Tennessee, and paid away through there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you were fighting there a lot. That's how we got hooked up with you in Red with
right.
Peyton Shear and myself and Carl King and Don King and us. You know, with Freddie. We used
right.
to bring fighters down there on a monthly basis and have them fight on different shows that Red had, and it was something great.
Right.
Yeah. Back then, you know, Freddie, I think you were coming along, and Daryl Tyson. It was Daryl Tyson, right? Yeah.
Right.
I mean, what a fight.
Yeah, that was a hell of a fight.
Freddie showed some Sugar Ray Leonard moves. He showed some Muhammad Ali moves that night. I mean, Freddie fought the perfect fight to beat Daryl Tyson, and Daryl Tyson at the time was whooping and knocking out everybody.
Right. That was a hard fight. I mean, we had a game plan. You set out a game plan. We was in training camp, and we stuck to it. It was a hard fought victory. I knew Daryl would push me to that level. At that time, I was number three in the world. And then after I beat him, I became number one in the world by the IBF.
Yeah, that's right. And also, for a long time, people may not know, but you're going to know now, is that Freddie Ladd, Frankie Randall, Simon Brown, a lot of guys, ready for those big fights Freddie did in order why he was fighting also. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the very first time I made my trip to the King training camp in the world-famous Orwell, Ohio, the very first champion that I ended up working with was Simon Brown. And at that time, Simon Brown was the most feared welterweight champion at the time, you know. And at that time, he was, I think he was undefeated. And I came into camp, and I had followed Simon and watched him on a lot of TV, CBS, and all that before we even got there. I was a big fan, and I was I was in the ring with Simon Brown. And so I gave him a lot of respect, and he ended up busting my nose real bad. But after that, I said, okay, I'm not giving anybody respect anymore. I'm just going to do what I come to do, what I know how to do. And so after that, I used to stand toe-to-toe with him, and he was like, man, you're a good boxer. You should use your boxing skills. I know, because I was getting in his tail at that time. And I was a young cat coming up when I got with Don King Production. I was 21 years of age, and I was traveling and working with you guys. And like I said, Simon Brown was the first champion I worked with. Then I went on to work with the late Frankie Randall. Frankie the Surgeon Randall, I worked with him for 5 world title fights. And working with him, it just, I remember a thing you used to say all the time. So I adapted to that. It was punching pressure. And Frankie will make you work. So you either stood there and fought with him, or you got ate up. So working with Frankie, I developed a lot of skills, and I really learned really how to fight by working with Frankie. I also worked with Julian Jackson, Julian the Hulk Jackson, former 2-division world champion. Worked with him for a few title fights, and I remember one time working with Julian, and we had the headgears on, and Julian was regarded as the hardest puncher in boxing, probably still today. And, we had the headgears on and everything. And I walked right into a right hand, hit me right on the forehead. And I think, man, I had a headache for about a week. I never could shake it. And he was a power hitter. And I just gained a lot of experience working with a lot of these guys, world champions. I worked with Zab Judah, a lot of other fighters that fought for world titles, Teron Trent Millet, who was a junior welterweight champion. I worked with Donovan Boucher, who fought for the welterweight title as well. And it was just a close-knit group. We worked hard and we played hard. So,
absolutely right. You sparred some heavyweights too, Francois Botha.
Yeah, Francois Botha.
And Romales Ellis.
Yes. Francois Botha, who the White Buffalo, who became a heavyweight champion. Then Romales Ellis. Yeah, I also sparred Donny Lalonde. I even sparred Aaron Proud back in the day when he was coming back, when he was he and Hector Camacho. The late Hector Camacho, when they fought here in Memphis, the exhibition fight, I was sparring with Aaron Pryor at that time.
Yeah, and so not only were you a good fighter, you got a wealth of experience with sparring with different people. But Freddie,
right.
what can we look for in the future? Outside of boxing, what are some of the other things that you're doing in the community and stuff like that? Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I'm a minister. Been there at that now for November will be 18 years that I've been ministering. Which my father was a minister. After he had a boxing career, he fought heavyweight. He was 26-2 with 18 knockouts. And after he lost his last 2 fights, and then he was called into the ministry. And so, after I retired, I got my calling has always been there, but it's just I wanted to go off and do things that I wanted to do. first, and then once I settled down, then I accepted my calling, and so now I've been going on 18 years that I've been ministering. And I work around a lot. I used to visit the schools a lot. I haven't had the chance since COVID started. I used to go to the schools all the time and visit the young people and let them know that you got a dream. Only thing you got to do is stay focused and don't let anybody deter you from those dreams. Because I remember being in the second grade and the same teacher that I had, former heavyweight champion from West Memphis, Big John Tate, was in her class, and he came to visit my class. And I made up in my mind then when I was in the second grade that I was going to be a professional boxer. And I said, he made it out of here, so can I. And but the thing about it, I stayed home. I stayed right here in the Memphis area. I'm from West Memphis, and I built a career and became number one contender in the world, and I traveled the world. You know, been seen a lot coming from a small place like West Memphis in the Memphis, Tennessee area.
Absolutely right. And the USBA champion too for the listening audience.
Right.
Title that you won. And Bob, let's bring Bob Murray in here, our radio aficionado. Hey, Bob, any questions for Fred?
Yeah. Hey, Fred, how are you? Sorry we got cut short last week. We were starting a little chapter and then everything went crazy. You know, I just want to ask you a quick question. Your alias, man, Fatal Fred Appeal, how did that come about? What's up with that?
Well, I started out, when I first started out, I came out as Fred of the Cat Lad in reference to my second cousin, who was a former NFL player and a professional wrestler, Ernie Big Cat Lad.
Ernie Lad, yeah, right.
That was my cousin. So I'm coming out as Fred of the Cat Lad, but I had one of my chief seconds, you know, he was like, well, you know, that name's all right, but, you know, we already got a fearless Freddie Pendleton, who was a world champion, IBF lightweight champion. So he said, we got a fearless Freddy. Why not have a Fatal Freddy? So my chief second came up with the name Fatal Freddy, came up with the logo, the skull and crossbones with the blood dripping and all that. So he came up with the whole idea. And so that stuck with me. It had a better ring to it.
Okay, great. That's cool. Just wondering. It's always good.
So Freddie, you know, besides all that, what are some of the things that we can look for in the future with your two young rising stars that you have?
Well, I'm looking really starting Cameron Amos out. You know, he's 22 years of age. He's hungry for this sport, and he's just determined. He have a young 2-year-old daughter, and he just wants what's best for her. But he's very talented, and he listens to me, and we have a real tight bond. He look at me as a father figure, and I got a close knit relationship with all my fighters, everybody that I work with. We always got a lot of respect and a tight knit bond, and people can see when we're together that, you know, he has a lot of great respect for me. And I'm just looking for him to be a champion. We just going to start out coming up at 126 pounds. We're going to gradually move down to 118 because he's tall and lanky. Because I remember when I was working with you, Aaron, you at that time I came in, I was welterweight, and you told me that I wasn't really a welterweight and that I should go down to junior welter. And
right.
So I said, yeah, I'll do that. And I kept going, and I eventually, you know, I said, well, I can go past that. I went on to a lightweight, and that's why I became number one contender in the world. I was ranked in three divisions because my goal was to be champion simultaneously like Henry Armstrong. And so I was ranked at welterweight, junior welterweight and lightweight. So I know I was in the top 10 in all three weight classes.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you know, we all used to have a lot of fun in training camp, all of us. Tim Austin, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Nate Jones, when he first came out of the Olympics.
Right.
When in 1996, all of those got Richard Hall.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of different names that people that came through to train near Sean Bay Mitchell.
Yes,
you
yes.
Know.
Obakar. I mean, before Obakar and myself, before we turned pro and before we eventually ended up with Don King Productions, he was with Crunk Jim and Emmanuel Stewart in Detroit. So one summer I went there and I spent half the summer there at the Crunk Gym and worked with Emmanuel Stewart, the late Emmanuel Stewart, before I turned pro. And that was the only time that Obakar and myself got in the ring and we sparred one time. And so it was an experience. And then later on, our paths crossed when we both was with Don King Production. We was on the same production, but we was in different management and stuff. So, but we was always at training camp at the same time. So, yeah. Yeah, I remember traveling around and seeing a lot of guys, Terry Norris, Felix Trinidad, all these guys.
Yeah, the list was long, finely distinguished with everybody there under Don King Production in the famous historical training camp in Orwell, Ohio.
Yes.
That is a real jewel that you don't see too much of that in boxing. It was the who that was in boxing came through that training camp for decades, from champions and top contenders, and there was a lot of pretenders showed up while we were training. You used to see people come in all the time, Freddie, and they say, "Well, they could do this and do that." We used to tell them, well, everybody here can fight. If you can't fight or you got a good talk, you're going to have to learn how to fight if you want to hang around here. It was no playing around. It was serious business. Everybody was hungry and everybody was starving for success.
Yeah. It's like everybody, when you showed up at the King training camp in Orwell, you either swim or you sink. And it's like when you're in that spawn, it's like everybody stop what they're doing and all eyes on whoever's in the ring spawn. So you had to come with it. You had to sink or swim. You had to put up or shut up. I enjoyed my days there. I mean, it was secluded. You had to get away from everything. That was a place you would go to get real focused. You know, we had the video games and stuff there, the TV, the pool and all that. Only thing you had to do was run and work out, eat and sleep, because the town was like 2 miles up and we was out from everything. So, and that was a good training spot. And I was very fortunate to be able to go there and to hone in on my skills.
Yeah, and absolutely, and that's just what you did, and you held your own with the best of them around the world. Hey, Bob, do you have any more questions for Fred?
Not really, but I just wanted to say I'm sitting here thinking about Ernie Lattiger, man. I'm glad to hear you say that. Wasn't he like the biggest guy in the NFL there at one time, your cousin?
Yes.
He's huge.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Did he ever fight?
Real big.
I was wondering. Did he ever get in
the
ring?
Did he ever fight?
Did he ever get into the ring?
The only ring he got in was the wrestling ring when he was with the WWE.
Oh, the wrestling man. I knew he was in a ring somewhere. Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah, sounds good.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, Freddie, there's quite a few welterweight fighters coming up. We're going to ask your opinion about them. How about Errol Spence?
Errol Spence, he's good. He's number two to me. He's ranked number two at welterweight to me. Bar none, hands down, everyone is avoiding the number one welterweight to me is Terrence Bud Crawford. He has the complete package. I watched him come up from 130 pounds. That's when I first saw him, and yeah, he from Omaha, Nebraska. He is the legitimate package. He is the truth. I mean, Errol Spence called himself the truth, but Terrence Bud Crawford is the truth. He is the welterweight that everyone is avoiding. They talk a good game, like they want to fight him, but it shouldn't be that hard to make. You know, I know a lot of things now, promoter and television. People with these different networks and everything, but we need to come together and make these fights. Back in the day, fighters, they fought. You know, they proved themselves. They got in the ring and they was willing to fight. And but today, you know, these fighters, they're a lot of talk. Everybody want to say that they're number one, that they're the best fighter, but they don't come together and fight. And the fight that we almost didn't have that was on everybody's mind for the longest, and it was a bit too late, and that was Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Manny Pacquiao. And it was just a lot of steam that was left when Pacquiao had a loss, and then he came, they finally made the fight. And another fight that they was talking about for the longest at heavyweight that never materialized. And I said a while back, I said one of them going to end up losing before they even had the fight. And that was Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua. And because
yeah,
at that time,
absolutely.
They both was undefeated and they was knocking out everybody. And they just never did bring the fight together, and so they both now. I don't know what's going on with these guys now. I know.
We want to ask you because since you were rated in three different weight classes, let's go down to Kambosos and the Haney fight that we were just talking about. What do you feel about that matchup?
Haney, I got Haney. He's a good boxer, and I just think he's gonna box circles around him and everything. So I look for Haney to just continue his championship run.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with Usyk and them, Usyk just getting out of the war, that matchup with him and Anthony Joshua, the heavyweight matchup with Usyk and Anthony Joshua, what do you feel about that fight?
I watched Usyk in other fights. He moved up and won the title, so he put on a good show. He boxed. Anthony Joshua, he was big and strong, but his chin was always questionable to me. Anybody that, to me, that's been in boxing and that was a big power hitter, that it always proved to me that they had the strength and power, but their chin was suspect. And so he even got hurt by Usyk, and I think he's going to dominate again. You know, he's going to continue to be champion. I think he should
be. Yeah, Usyk as an offensive machine, you know, that he is. He's a very bitty fighter. You got to outpunch him in somewhere. You got to hit him and hurt him to slow him down. And
you have to be in condition to fight him.
Yeah, and if you can't hit him and hurt him to slow him down, you're in for a long night. We'll see if he's able to keep up with that different punch and pace, and we'll see if he learns Anthony Joshua, if he learns how to counterpunch. A lot of these guys are just lead punches, and they don't know anything about countering, and they don't work on counterpunching. And they always want to lead punch. And for a guy like Usyk, you got to be able to counterpunch very well in order to stop all of that and break all of that stuff up that he does offensively in motion. Well, look, Freddie, we're moving down the line here, man. We're going to say you want to say something, and your last words are closing. We'll give you 30 seconds before we start in our close.
Okay. Well, I just want to say that it's been a pleasure to be on this show. I know it goes over 200 countries or whatever, and I was just very fortunate to have the career that I had and to be a part of Don King Production and to be trained by you as well as one of the top trainers, a Hall of Famer trainer. And I really learned a lot from you, and I'm just trying to pass it off now to some of the young fighters that I work with, some of the stuff that I went through and was passed. I'm passing it off now to these guys. And maybe, you know, they listen and they'll go a long way. But I'm just very fortunate to have the career that I had and be able to travel the world and the country like I did and meet a lot of different fighters and still be in contact with a lot of them. And just it's just a brotherhood that we formed and we keep in touch now. So I'm just very thankful for the career that I had and God blessed me with.
Well, Freddie, we want to first thank you for being a student of the game and thank you for all the kind words. But Freddie, you know, good fighters become good trainers, good managers, good promoters and things like that because you become a student of the game. And as you keep on your journey of training right now, you're going to find out is to teach is to learn, and to learn is to teach. And the more you're around the game, you're going to keep on progressing and learning different things, different ways. There's always something new, something you can always improve on and add into your repertoire. But, hey, look, you're a good, great fighter. And you're going to be a good, great trainer. And we want to thank you for coming on to the World Boxing Review radio show.
Well, I thank you. And always stick with me. And I tell my fighters all the time, because you had this banner up in the gym. And that'd be the last thing that I tell them is when you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail.
That is correct. Yeah. That was that banner. That was our motto. Bob, in closing, we got 90 seconds, Bob.
Yeah, anyway, I just want to go back to that fight tonight that we're talking about, the female middleweight championship, the WBO world title fight between Savannah Marshall and Famke Hermans. You know, one thing about Marshall, you got to remember, she's 5'11.5". I mean, she's pushing 6 foot. That's a big, tall opponent for Hermans, who is a former champion, too. So looking forward to this fight tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Women's fighting. You heard Freddie Ladd talking about he's grooming a future champion. One of his students is a female. We want to thank Freddie Ladd for taking the time and the effort after our boo-boo last week. It turned out to be a great interview.
Yes,
we want to thank you for coming on the World Boxing Review radio show. Bob,
thank you,
man, oh, man, another week taking that magic carpet around the world, dipping down out of the country, different countries around the world. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champion, our radio aficionado, Bob Murray, and our boxing historian, Henry Haskopf. Thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show.
All right.